Rick mentioned five Sundays in this month. We are squeezing this fifth Sunday in on this last day of July. As I was thinking about that this last week, I just couldn't help but think that maybe God had a plan. He had his hands in my choosing 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16 as our memory verse for this month. Now, maybe we needed an extra Sunday to think about the challenge to be holy as He is holy. Did you notice even in our singing this morning, a couple of songs we sang about the holiness of God? He is holy, and He calls you and me to be holy. Before we get too far away from this verse, let me emphasize six words from verse 15. The words, be holy in all you do. Would you say that with me? Be holy in all you do. Let those words sink in for just a moment. The Lord God calls us to be holy as He is holy, in our speech, in our reactions to people and situations, in our business transactions, in our sexuality, in the way we dress. We are to be holy in how we treat one another in the home, at work. We are to be holy in all we do. The New American Standard Bible says it this way, be holy in all your behavior. I'd like to ask you to bow your heads with me, and I want to pray for you. We've had five Sundays in July that we've emphasized this subject of holiness through our memory verse. I just want to pray for you that you would take that challenge on, that you would be holy as God is holy. And would you pray for me, that same prayer, that I would be holy. I want to be holy. And pray for those around you. Okay, could we do that right now, please? God, I just ask that you would help us to be holy. We've been challenged by your word over these last 5 weeks to be holy in all we do as you are holy. We need your Holy Spirit to help us with that. We can't muster up holiness from within because the Bible says that we are not good. Not one of us is good. And yet that is why you came, dear Jesus, to die for our sins and to clothe us with your holiness. And so, Lord, help us to take that clothing on and help us to grow in your holiness. Help us to know that it's not just for a select few to be holy, but that all of us are to be holy, and we need that. The world needs us to be holy. They need to see Jesus through us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the topic for today is not going to get any easier. In fact, over these next few Sundays, we are going to be hit pretty hard from the Word of God. I want to begin a new mini-series this morning, Jesus is calling us to follow Him. And I think this is what He's saying to us, follow me and I will teach you about discipline. Now I'll go ahead and introduce to you our next memory verse for August, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. It says this, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. The New Living Translation says it this way, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. I really want to encourage you in the month of August, as it starts tomorrow, to memorize 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. Discipline is hard, but probably most of us would agree that discipline is rewarding. When we discipline ourselves to exercise, it's rewarding after the fact, isn't it? When we discipline ourselves with our eating habits, it's rewarding, especially if we see a few pounds shaved off. When we discipline ourselves with our budget, it's rewarding, isn't it, that we might have enough money to pay the bills at the end of the month, or maybe even a few dollars extra. When we discipline ourselves to get up and pray and to get into the Word of God, it is rewarding as we feel close to Him. Jesus is saying this, "Follow me and I will teach you about discipline." What about the discipline of waiting? You say, "Oh my, that's hard." I don't suspect that any of us here like to wait. I don't know of anyone that likes to go to the grocery store and just wait in line for a long time. I don't know of anyone that likes to go to the doctor's office and sit and wait for 45 minutes or an hour or longer to see the doctor. And even worse than that, to wait for the doctor's word to come back to us about test results. We don't like to wait for those test results, do we? And one of the last things I want to do is to get on a phone call and to be put on hold and to have to wait and wait and wait. How about this? A prayer to God that we have been praying for a long, long time, and we keep on praying, but so far no answer, and we just have to keep on waiting. Waiting is a very hard thing for us to do. We live in a microwave society, don't we? Where everything seems to be, we want it right at our fingertips. And yet God calls us to learn to wait. He calls us to discipline ourselves to wait on Him. I want to read to you some verses with this challenge. Several of them from the book of Psalms. Psalms 25, verses 4 and 5. And you can follow along with me on the screen here. The psalmist says this, "Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day." Psalms 27, verse 14, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord." Psalms 37, verses 7 through 9, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land." I read that passage this last week, and I'm thinking, you know, it's so easy for us to get frustrated that life just seems unfair at times. We see the ungodly prospering and getting away with their evil, and we are trying to do things the right way, and we're just struggling along. The psalmist says, hey, wait on the Lord. He will have the last say, and He will make things right. Waiting is a hard discipline to learn. Psalms chapter 40, verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Psalm 62, verse 1 says, my soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. Are you getting an idea that this is a thread that runs through the book of Psalms, this important discipline of waiting on the Lord? Let me read one more from the book of Psalms, chapter 130, verses 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord. Now, Psalms is not the only book in Scripture where we are exhorted to wait on the Lord. Proverbs 20, verse 22 says, do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will save you. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 17, and I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. I will even look eagerly for him. Sometimes it does seem like God is hiding his face from us, doesn't it? Isaiah the prophet says, though it may seem that way, that he's hiding his face from us, I am going to wait for him. I am going to eagerly look for him. And here's one of the more familiar passages in Scripture that emphasize the importance of waiting on the Lord. Chapter 40 of Isaiah, verse 31. Yet those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles, and they will run and not get tired, and they will walk and not become weary. Now, I know I'm reading a lot of Scripture to you this morning, but maybe that's what we need, is to just hear directly from the Lord himself on this subject of waiting. It is a discipline that we need to learn. As we wait on him, he will give us new strength. Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. I wonder if sometimes we miss seeing the goodness of God because we rush ahead of him. I'll read one more passage to you. Hosea chapter 12, verse 6. Therefore, return to your God, observe kindness and justice, and wait for your God continually. Dear God, would you help us in this discipline of waiting? Would you help us to learn to wait on you? His timing is so much different than our timing, isn't it? I've mentioned to you before that my wife Cindy lives with a lot of pain physically. Not me, I'm not her pain. But she lives with a lot of pain physically. And most people would not know that except for the fact that I've mentioned it to you. And she's probably going to give me some pain for mentioning this. I know I mentioned it a couple of months ago as well. And I am quite confident of this. She lives with her pain a whole lot different or a whole lot better than what I would if I were in her shoes. If I'm hurting, I kind of want you to know about it. And if you'll give me some sympathy, I'll gladly receive it. Not so with her. You wouldn't know she was in pain except for the fact that I'm telling you that. 19 years ago, this last week, she was hit from behind by a semi. All three of our kids were in the minivan with her. They were sitting on a two-lane highway waiting for the car in front of her to turn left, and a semi didn't see that the traffic was stopped, running 60, 65 mile an hour, and just rammed her in the rear end. It was a miracle of God that she even survived that accident. But it has left her in a lot of pain through the years. And honestly, even over the last few months, I've noticed that that has increased for her. And you know what I have prayed? I have prayed for 19 years for God to take that pain away from her. I've prayed that he would take it away right now. Yesterday. I wanted it gone yesterday. And I have prayed for God to do that. I know that he could do that. All it would take would be for one word. All it would take for him is to give one nod towards her in her direction, and the pain would be gone. I know that God could do that. He could free her from that burden, but God's timing is different from our timing, and God's ways are different from our ways. And to this point, he has been saying, no, wait. I hope he's not saying no, period. I'm hoping he's saying just wait, not yet. And I don't have an explanation as to his thinking. I'm just knowing that waiting is a hard discipline for us to learn. Are you with me? Is it hard for you too? I'm sure it is. I think of Abraham and Sarah having to wait for so long to have a baby. Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old. And the scripture says that their bodies were as good as dead in reference to having a child. And yet, in God's time, Sarah conceived just as God said she would. Can you imagine Sarah going into the store to buy diapers and Depends at the same time? To have on her grocery order, I'm just thinking, if there was a Walmart back then, and she gives an order online, and everybody knows what about Sarah. I mean, that kind of word travels fast. And on her order, she has baby formula and Ensure on the same grocery order. And Abraham comes home from work, and she says to him, "Honey, I've enrolled us for a parenting class on Tuesday night, and on Thursday night, on Thursday night, we're going to do a geriatric swimming class." And God can sometimes have a pretty good sense of humor, can't he? I'm thinking of the disciples of Jesus. Do you remember what he told them before he ascended into heaven? Most of us, in answer to that question, would remember the Great Commission, where Jesus said, "I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." But we need to remember that before he told them to go, what did he tell them to do? He told them to wait. He said, "I want you to go into Jerusalem and I want you to wait for the filling of God's Spirit." And you see that in Acts chapter 1. Waiting is a discipline that we need to learn. Did Jesus have to practice the discipline of waiting? I was thinking about that question last night. Did Jesus have to practice the discipline of waiting? Yes, he did. He waited until he was 30 years old before he started his ministry. He had to wait for John to do his preparation work before he could get into his own personal ministry. He learned to wait. After his baptism, he didn't just jump right in to his preaching. He went into the wilderness for 40 days to spend time with the Father, to fast and pray. He had to learn the discipline of waiting, and for 3 long years, he waited for his disciples to grow up spiritually. And so, yes, I think Jesus, too, had to learn the practice or the discipline of waiting. Could I share with you some lessons that I've learned through waiting? And the first lesson would be this: God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Even when things don't go our way, God is still good. Amen? I hope you believe that. We just need to have our eyes open to His goodness. He lavishes His gifts upon us over and over. Oh, sure, there are some things. If we want to have our eyes open to the things that are hard, those things that are not quite what we want them to be, we can see those things. But He is a good, good God. Psalms 34, verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." 1 Chronicles 16, 34 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." Yes, we could focus on the things that are hard, and we could focus on the things that are not exactly what we want them to be, but why not focus on the blessings that He has given to us, the showering down of His blessings upon us? We could focus on that which is right in our life. And we may find out in the long run that what we thought was best, He had something even better for us. Let me give to you a second lesson. God is sovereign, and He is working His plan. As we are learning this discipline of waiting, we can learn this lesson: that God is sovereign. He is working His plan. I may not be able to see His plan. I may not be able to see what He's doing. Is He just sitting on His hands? No, He's not just sitting on His hands. Just because I can't see what He's doing doesn't mean that He's not working. That song, Waymaker, the lyrics go like this: "Even when I don't see it, You're working. Even when I don't feel it, You're working. You never stop. You never stop working." And brothers and sisters, His plan is good because He is a good God if we'll just hold on to Him and trust Him. He's in control. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are so much greater than our thoughts. He's looking at things from an eternal perspective and from an eternal time frame. Our view is so limited. And that's why we need to trust Him even when we can't figure out what He's doing. Let me give to you a third lesson. As we wait, as we learn this lesson of waiting, we learn that God is with us and sustaining us. He will never let go of us. Sometimes the waiting seems so long, and we can begin to get weary. And yet, what did God say that He would do? He would give us new strength. He will help us to mount up with wings like eagles, and we will not get tired as we run. We will walk and not become weary. You are never alone in your waiting. Let me give to you a fourth lesson. It's during the times of waiting that God will grow you in Him. He's not finished with us yet. And almost always, our greatest growth is when we are having to wait. Did you hear me say that? Our greatest times of growth are when we are having to wait upon Him and our trust is in Him. If we got everything that we wanted when we wanted it, we'd be pretty spoiled people, wouldn't we? But when things don't go our way, that's when we are drawn to Him. That's when we want to get into His Word and find out what He has to say to us. And our time with Him in the prayer closet is more intimate. We realize that He is God and we are not. We realize how much we need Him. We are desperate for Him, and that's a good thing. And fifthly, when we've had to wait and the blessing finally comes, how sweet it is. Don't you know, as Abraham and Sarah held Isaac in their arms, they just had to laugh again at the goodness of God? Waiting is hard. But God comes to us amidst our waiting. He is with us. And in His time, He will do the right thing. And I thought about that this week. If God ever chooses to heal Cindy here on this earth, how sweet that will be. And we will praise His name. But you know what? We're going to praise His name whether He answers that prayer or not, because He is a good God all the time. Let's pray together. Dear Father, would You help us in this discipline of waiting? All of us need to learn that. And some of us, even right now, have been praying a prayer, asking for a blessing, and we're waiting. Help us to trust You. Help us to hold on to You. Help us to praise You, knowing that You are a good God all the time. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.